goes well with 1 John.
Oh, my.
Spirit answers to the blood.
Good choice.
You and I choose that every time, wouldn't we? One of John's favorite hymns. Mine too. Luke chapter 8. You notice the title, Two Dying Daughters. This daughter of Jairus, and our Lord said to the woman, daughter. She was his daughter. Now I pray the Lord will speak to, raise up, make himself known to two in here this morning, young and old. Both are here, always. Always. This is my story. I told you that we would look at verse 40 because this is so good. It came to pass when Jesus returned. He just came back from going a long way, going through a lot to save this one worthless fellow. And he saved him. He did it. And he came back. And it says the people, verse 40, were gladly received him. They were waiting for him. I thought to myself. And the scripture says, in this glad hour, the song we sing, David wrote, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I can't help but believe, if we are really glad to be here, if we're waiting on him, that he'll speak to somebody. If not, if he doesn't save our dying daughters or our dying spouse or mother or husband, he'll speak to us. I was glad when they said unto me, who? Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm here. Oh, I hope and pray that there's someone waiting on the Lord this morning. Glad to be here. Glad. He just might pour out his spirit upon us. Save someone that we beseech him for. Well, there came a man. Behold, there came a man. Verse 41. There came a man. And it says his name was Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet. Besought him that he would come to his house. He had a daughter, 12 years old. She lay dying. There came a man. Where did he come? He had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard who this was. And I remind you that when Scriptures, the Holy Spirit says Jesus, he is distinguishing him from, if he said Lord, you might think he's talking about God in heaven. But He clearly says Jesus throughout this. He can. But he's the Spirit of God. But to distinguish him from, to make it known who he's talking about. The man. But he's Lord. He's God. Okay. So this man, Jairus, heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he believes he's Lord. He fell at his feet. And he came. He came to Christ. And he fell at his feet. This man, certain man, another gospel said. Men, talking to you. We need to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man in here. It's not unmanly at all. We need to fall at his feet. You hear me? We need to fall at his feet and worship him. We need to come to Christ, bow the knee, fall on our faces at his feet, call on the Lord in the day of trouble. We're in a day of trouble. We've got unsaved children. We've got unsaved spouses, some of you. We've got unsaved parents. We've got unsaved neighbors, don't we? This is serious. More than anything else, we need to come to Christ. You're the head of the home. You're the priest of the home. You need to fall on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Literally. Literally. Daniel did it. You'll always find him on his knee. We don't do this publicly. We don't get on our knees here in public. We don't do it because it'd be a show. And I'm not going to make somebody get on their knees that doesn't want to. But buddy, in our private, we need to fall on our faces before the Lord and beseech Him. Lord, I've got a dying daughter. I've got a dying son. I've got a dying wife. I've got a dead wife. She doesn't know the Lord. I've got a dead husband. Same thing to the women. We need to fall on our faces before the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? Oh, come, Psalm 95:6 says, come, let us kneel. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Maybe, it may be that He'll hear our prayer. This man was a ruler of the synagogue. He was religious. What a miracle. There were very few Pharisees that came and fell down on their face before the Lord Jesus Christ. Then and now. Very few. This man was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader of the people. There are not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. I don't see the fear of the Lord in the faces and hear it in the speech of many religious leaders today. Just don't do it. But this man, he heard of the Lord, he came and he fell on his face. He's a like Saul of Tarsus. When Saul heard from the Lord, boy, he fell on his face, didn't he? Ruler of the synagogue. A ruler of the synagogue. He came to Christ. He didn't go back to the synagogue. He came to Christ. He came to a person. Falling on his face before a person. Beseeching Christ. You ever see your need? You ever see your daughter's need of Christ? You'll come to Christ. Not, you won't just come to church. You'll come to Christ. And old Brother Scott used to say, come to Christ right now, but don't move a muscle. Because He's not down here. The preacher doesn't have a special insight or way in. No, no. He's seated in the heaven. He can come right now in your heart, in your mind. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, my daughter is dying. I thought about this. Where was his wife? He was married because it says that the Lord gave this daughter back to the parents. They were both. Where was she? Was she at home with the daughter? Probably. Probably home tending her dying daughter. But this man came to Christ begging Him, beseeching Him, Lord, You're the only one that can do something for my daughter. I don't know if his wife thought that or not. I don't know if his wife knew Christ or not or heard of Him or not. Well, whether she did or not, he did. And he came to Christ, didn't he? And whether or not your wife or your husband knows the Lord or not, you better come to Him. You beseech Him. You beseech Him on their behalf. That's what Job did, didn't it? Job's wife didn't believe the Lord. David's wife, Michael, she didn't believe the Lord. Boy, David did. He had a dying daughter. He had a dying daughter, 12 years old. Ours are too, dying. You know that? Young ladies? It's so. Everything dies. And the spiritual, the truth about the matter is, we're all dead in trespasses and sin. We if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't give us life eternal, we'll die in our sins. We'll perish without God. If our daughters don't know the Lord, they'll perish. So there's nothing they need more than what the Lord did for this young lady. Nothing. Nothing. You can die, literally die, when you're 12 years old. I held the lifeless body of my best friend. He's 15 years old. I held his body in my arms. Tried to revive him. Was resuscitated. He's dead. This man had a dying daughter. And our daughters may think, oh, I'm full of life. He that hath the Son hath life. A daughter may think, oh, I've got my whole life ahead of me. Not so. I just told you. And that could have been me. That boy I held in my arm could have been me. I was supposed to sleep with him and another young man that died also in this room. It was a gas heater and there was no ventilation and they asphyxiated. I was supposed to sleep with him that night. I talked to a man the other day. He had a stroke. I hope he listens to this. He works on the heating and air conditioning here. He had a stroke. He's in the hospital. He said, I sure was lucky. I said, there ain't no such thing as that. I said, God was merciful to you. God spared your life. I said, you need to call on the Lord and ask Him why. I said, do you seek the Lord? Ask Him why He spared you. We have dying daughters. Dying daughters. 12 years of age. Is there an age of accountability? No. Mm-mm. The Lord deals with every single... There may be a child 9 years old, more perceptive, more whatever, knowledgeable, understanding than a 15-year-old. The Lord knows. Okay. He knows our frame. He deals with it. And a young lady actually told my wife in her class years ago when she was real young, she said, well, I'm not at the age of accountability yet, so I'm not. And my wife wisely said, if you're old enough to say that, you're old enough to be accountable for your rebellion against God. Right? So there's no age of accountability. But the Lord is clearly telling us here that no matter how old you were dying, we're all dying. We're born dying. 12 years of old, you can die. You can miss Christ at 12 years old. The Lord can reveal Himself as He pleased to you when you're very, very young. Now, our daughters are dying. I pray and hope and pray the Lord will raise them by the gospel that I'm preaching right now. Verse 42. Says, as he went, our Lord, this man begged the Lord, please come. And men, do you ask the Lord to come to your house? Do you? Do you ask life for those in your house, or are you just busy making a living? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Just busy making a living? Or do you want the Lord to come and give life to your daughter? Is the most important thing to you your daughter's eternal life, spiritual life, or is it just making a living? Is it? Isn't that a good question? This man said, Lord, would you come to my house? Would you come abide? Would you come into my house? Give life to my dying daughter? Would you come speak? Would you come dwell with me? Would you come where we are? My house needs you. My daughter, my wife, I need you. Would you come into my house and set up your abode and reign and rule in my house? Men, let's do that, shall we? Shall we, brother? Let's do that. Would you come to my house? You know the Lord will come to everybody's house that He has, that asks Him. You know that? He came. The Lord of glory, Brother Ron. I will. Hadn't he got better things to do? Well, this is why he came. No, he went. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. He went. David one time said, "Who am I and what is my house that you brought us here?" Can you say that? Wow. He went. But as he went, as he was going, there was always a huge crowd around him. It says the people thronged him. Just thronged him. A mass of people all around him. You understand? They're people are reaching out and grabbing him and touching him, and famous people. You know. Everybody didn't believe on him. It's like people, any famous person. But they're thronging him. They're all around him. And Jairus got lost in the crowd. All right? Jairus got caught up in the crowd, mingled in the crowd, and he lost sight of Christ. He's coming with me. Say he's coming. He couldn't see him. Where is he? I don't know. He's not coming. He'll forget about me.
Oh no. It's not possible for one person to call on the name of the Lord and the Lord forgive him.
Not possible. He didn't. Jairus lost sight of his Lord, but the Lord never lost sight of him. He had someone else to tend to. There was someone else in his purpose, in his will, in this predestinating will and purpose he made before the world began. He had a meeting with somebody else first. As a woman, another daughter, another one of the Lord's daughters that he's bringing to himself. Brethren, here's the point. If you call on the Lord, don't think he's forgotten about you. There may be more pressing matters. All right. So he comes to the Lord, calls, and he gets lost in the crowd, but the Lord hadn't lost sight of him. Behold, in verse 43, a woman. And again, one of the other gospels says, a certain woman. A certain woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. Spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Came. She came. Where'd she come? Where'd she come? She heard a cry.
She came to Christ.
She tried everything, tried everyone, tried everything she knew. 12 years. This is significant. 12-year-old daughter. Woman with an issue, 12 years. She came to Christ. Certain woman. Woman with an issue. She's dying from it. How old is this woman? Got a 12-year-old daughter. How old is this woman? 40? 50? Probably over 50, 60, woman, maybe 70. She had this issue of the blood. It's within her. It's inside of her. A dying issue. She's dying from this too, like this young lady. She's dying too. She's got this issue inside of her, and she's dying. And she had it 12 years, and she tried everything and everyone she knew to get rid of this. Now, finally, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, by the goodness of God, by the Spirit of God, she heard of Jesus Christ. Whereas before she went here, she went there, she went to this place, she went to that place. And then she heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only one who saves to the uttermost, the only one that can. And she came to Him. Came to Him. Oh my. This issue of blood. This issue of blood. She had it 12 years. And she dealt with it. And now she knows she's dying from it. And now she comes to Christ. Do you understand? You'll be religious. You'll go to church. And you just think you have issues. A few faults. Women. But when you find out that you have a dying issue called sin within you, and there's only one person that can get rid of it. You can't do it.
Nobody can do it. You've got it and you're going to die for it, from it, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't do something about it. When you finally hear of Him, you'll come to where He is. You'll come to where a man is preaching Him and Him only.
And you'll quit all this other stuff. Because this issue is within. It's not here. It's not to the head. Out of the heart are the issues of life. You'll quit listening to men that preach to your head. And you'll start listening for a man to preach to your heart. Preach what?
Preach Christ.
If you find out this issue and you know you're dying from it, you'll need one thing can cure you of this issue. One thing can put away this issue is seeing Christ and Him crucified. Not hearing about a man named Jesus, but the power of God, the Spirit of God, taking the things of Christ, the gospel of Christ, and curing you of this issue called sin. Putting it away by the sacrifice of Himself. Nothing else, nothing less, and nothing more. You won't need anything or anyone else when you really see your only need is Him. An issue of blood. It says that she tried many physicians. She tried many physicians. She went here. She went there. She tried this one. She tried that one. Dr. So-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. And as I said, her issue was not head and neither is yours. I listen, there's 33,000 some odd preachers on sermon audio. And I listen to some of them. And most of them are preaching to my head. You know it's some of you. That's not the issue. My issue between me and God is not my theology is wrong. My heart is wrong. That's what I need to have operated on, the heart. She went here. She went there. She tried this man, Dr. B.A. Christian, Dr. John A. Church, Dr. If you will, Dr. This, Dr. That, Reverend so-and-so.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the great physician. He's the only one.
Only one. You need to find a man that's preaching Him. And go and sit until you hear from Him. Says she was not better, she was worse. She was worse. She tried, and she wasn't any better, the scripture says. She was worse. Almost religion will make you as a Pharisee. When you find out through the preaching of the truth, the gospel, that you're a sinner and you've got a dying issue, and only one can cure it, the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll come to Christ. You come to Him. And He'll heal you. He will. She heard. She came. She needed Christ desperately. Listen to me, lady. Listen to me. This was a poor and needy, helpless, hopeless, doomed, dying woman. Okay? This is not an end. This is not. The Lord didn't come for super women. Do you hear me? There ain't no such thing anyway. Oh, how our modern society has deified women. Huh? Lord didn't come for self-sufficient, independent women, but poor and needy, helpless, hopeless, damned, doomed, dying women that need a Savior. This poor woman came crawling. Oh, she didn't have any pride, did she? She needed. She had a need. Here's the thing. If the issue is in your heart, you'll come crawling to Christ. Nothing, no one take you away. If it's in your head, you might come, you might not to hear it. If it's in your head, you'll fall asleep during the whole thing. If it's in
your heart beating, pumping, beating. Oh, I hope He hears me. I hope He hears me. Oh, I hope He speaks to me. Hope He speaks to my daughter. Hope He speaks to my wife. Hope He speaks to my husband. Oh, the heart. This is life. This is head knowledge. This is life. Oh, Lord. You ever had something that was a life or death matter? Huh? How'd you act? You ever gone to the doctor? You hear that dreaded C word? Huh? How did you respond? Oh, what about, is there a physician? Is there a physician? Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. Tell me. I'm going to die.
Help me. It's not, oh, that's good. You're not dying. You're dying. Oh, help me. This woman's not religious. She needs Christ. Okay? She came. The Lord came for needy women, not self-sufficient. He came for women, not independent women, but women that are totally dependent on Him. Totally dependent. If He doesn't do something today, I'm a goner. That's who Christ came for. Men and women. Well, this certain woman is certainly a picture of everyone that comes to Christ. And she was nothing better, only worse, tried everything. Oh my, what people try and all that people do and all that they listen to, this and that, and physicians and psychiatrists and psychologists and educators and talk shows, the whole world. They listen to everybody, but there's only one person that can do anything for them. No matter how smart someone may appear, if they don't come to Christ, they are a fool and they're going to die. I got a brother who's a college professor. He's a fool. He thinks this is foolish what I'm doing. But God says he's the fool, not me. I don't have a college education. He does. Studied at Vanderbilt, doctorate. He doesn't need Christ. He's a fool. Who made the difference? Who made the difference between him and me? I love election. I shouldn't choose him. Well, this woman came, all right? And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She said that in another gospel. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I preached the whole message on the hem of his garment. Why did it say that? If you go back in the Old Testament and look at the high priest, his garment that he wore a garment, and on the hem of his garment was bells and pomegranates. And I don't have time to deal with it. But somehow or another, she knew this is the great high priest. This is the great physician. This is the mediator between God and man. This is the only one. This is the righteousness. This is the Lamb of God. This is the sacrifice. This is the burnt offering. This is the one. This is the Holy One of Israel. This is the one that God sent. This is our God. He will save us. If I could just touch the lower part of stuff. She did. She did. That is, God brings you to Christ, nobody can keep you from it. And our Lord, oh, I love this, don't you? Our Lord stopped. He said, somebody touched me. And Simon Peter, bless his heart, he's always talking about, Lord, what do you mean? Look at all these people. They're all around us. One time our Lord said, he was in a crowd, he said, you will not come unto me. Well, everybody was there to see Jesus. They didn't come to Christ. They didn't come to be healed. They didn't come for mercy. They didn't come for salvation. They come because of this famous person was there. They came out of curiosity. Somebody touched me. Everybody's touched. No. One person needs me and reached out and laid hold of me by faith, knowing that I'm her only help. I'm her only hope. I am her life. Without me, she's dead. That I am her only hope between her and God. Somebody touched him. And he knew who it was. And you know why I said that? She's going to come and she's going to tell everybody. She's going to come. She's going to tell him first. And she's going to tell everybody who it was that healed her. And he did. Look at this. Verse, she came and was not hid. Verse 47, falling down before him. And brethren, nothing is hid before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He looks on the heart. He sees. He sees who needs him. He sees who knows him. He sees who came to him because he brought him. He revealed himself to him. He does. We fool men, but we don't fool God. God knows. He knows. And whoever comes in sincerity and truth, whoever he brings, they will come, verse 47, like her. She came trembling, and falling down, just like Jairus. Falling down before him. Why? She knows who he is. She now knows who this is. She didn't come before. She may have come and heard him in the Sermon on the Mount, but she didn't fall down. She thought it was an interesting message. But now she's died, and she comes and falls down before his feet, knowing if this one doesn't save me, I'm gone. And she declared unto him, Lord, thank you, Lord. You saved me. Power came out of you. Virtue came out of you. Salvation came from you. Unto him that saved us, from washed us from our sins in his own blood, unto him that lived for us and died for us, unto him, those that are truly saved, touched by the Lord himself, those who truly come to Christ, who've been chosen by him, brought to him by the Spirit of God, heard his voice through the preaching of the gospel, they attribute, they know, they absolutely confess that salvation is of the Lord. You did it. They don't say, I accept Jesus. I did this. I walked the aisle. Oh, I did reach out and touch him. She didn't say that. She said, you did this. She's smiling now. She probably hadn't smiled in a year. As I told you, my pastor once said, most people have just enough religion to make them miserable and everybody around them miserable. And now she knows Christ. And she's alive. And he said to her, and she declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him. Why did you come to me? If Christ asked, why did you come to me? Because I couldn't save myself. Because nobody else could. I know that you alone can and must. I believe you did. I believe you have. To God be the glory. And all the people, she told all the people that. Was she embarrassed? Was she embarrassed for everybody to find out? Was she embarrassed to tell everybody what the Lord had done for her? If she was, the Lord hadn't done something for her. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Brethren, if you believe the Lord has had mercy on your soul, if Christ has had mercy on your soul by being made sin for you, by hanging on a cross to die for your sin, you will not be embarrassed to confess him. You'll be embarrassed that you haven't done it before. No, you're not embarrassed. You're going to tell everybody. She tells him first. And she tells everybody. Like that man in John 9 had his eyes open. Who did it? He did it. All right, look at the next thing. Daughter, be of good comfort. Verse 48. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee go whole. Whole, complete. Her faith? What is her faith? What did she do? She came to Christ. Why did she come to Christ? He brought her. What did she do? Really nothing. Christ did it all. And he's about to go to the cross and die for her and put away her sin. God, the Holy Spirit, sent her to Christ. She didn't do anything. She did what God told her to do, commanded her to do. And she came to Christ and reached out because the Lord told her to, thank God. She heard of Christ. She believed Christ. Her faith is a person. It's not what she did, but it's who she looked to. That's faith. Faith is who you look to. Not what you do, but who you look to. All right? She came to him. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What made her whole? Power went out of Christ. Virtue went out of Christ. Salvation came from the Lord, not your faith. All right? Look at verse 49. While he yet spake, while he was speaking. There was no idle time when our Lord was here. No idle words, no idle time, no time. He had 33 years to save a world of people. Every waking hour, every moment, every step he took, everything was in the direction of fulfilling God's will and purpose of saving every single person he had. All right, he's got a man he's going to deal with. Jairus, who thought he lost sight of it. Oh, no. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble him anymore. You know, they could have said that about me. They probably did. For a time, he's hopeless. They were praying for me. I know they were. My mother, father, and others calling on the Lord for me. I'm sure 18, 19, 20 years old, 21, 22. He's dead. He stinketh. Now he's really dead. He stinketh. Don't trouble the master. Yeah, are there any hopeless cases? Is anybody too far gone? Too far gone? Let me give you one word. Thief. A thief on a cross. He's dead. She's dead. Don't trouble the master. Verse 50. When our Lord heard it, he answered him, saying, that person, fear not. He answered Jairus, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Believe only. Believe only. Boy, there's a whole message right there, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? Believe only. That's what the whole crowd came to Simon Peter and all of them, didn't they? When they were pricked, how do we know that they had life? How do we know the Lord's dealing with them? They're pricked in their hearts. Every one of them. Over what? A Lord on a throne that they rejected, they didn't need, that they could care less about, that they've sinned against. And if he doesn't save them, if he doesn't have mercy on them, they're all goners. 3,000 of them. And they all, to a man, to a woman, came in fear. What must their hearts prick. What must we do to be saved? Oh, bless God. Simon Peter said this. Same thing.
Believe. Believe
on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? They didn't know it, but they already did. They just didn't believe that he'd have mercy on them. How could he? Why would he? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just call on him. Just believe him. Just trust him. That's who he came for. That's what he came for. Believe only. And you know, one of the other Gospels, it says that Jairus said, I believe, help my unbelief. Verse 51. He came to the house. He suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, the father and the mother of the maiden. Now, when salvation comes, the Lord's going to deal with that person individually. You know that? If the Lord saves you, he's going to deal with you individually. He's going to deal with you personally. You're going to hear from him. You're going to hear from the Lord. Well, then why was Peter and James...
What were they? Preachers. Why did the Lord do that? Because that's who he uses.
Always. And though it's not his voice, it's the Lord's voice. And though you may be in a crowd like this, when the Lord speaks to you through a preacher of the gospel, he'll speak to you alone. Did you read the article by William Jay this morning? Read it on being alone. The Lord came and wrestled with Jacob alone through a man. He thought it was just a man. James, what about the father and the mother? I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. You know, their life is wrapped up in that child and that daughter, a father and a mother. And when the Lord, if the Lord does, if He's pleased to speak to her or him, I tell you who's going to find out about it pretty quickly first. You hear me? They're going to know. They're going to know. They're going to be the first to know. And oh, why they're going to rejoice. Hang on now. Believe only. Did you hear me? All right. They all wept and bewailed her. And he said, weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Oh, how the world laughs, scoffs at what we're doing right now. At the truth. Verse 54, he put them all out. See that? Put them all out. Now I think he put mother and father out. And he spoke to her, maid, arise. Oh, dear Lord, please speak to one of our dead and dying daughters. Please, please. And her spirit came again. She arose straightway, immediately. And he commanded. What did he tell them to do? First thing. Took her out of that room after dealing with her, speaking to her, arise. She heard his voice. Her heart began to beat. Her ears opened. She heard him speak. Her eyes opened. And he brought her out to the parents and said, now, give her something to eat. Why did he do that? What is meat indeed? What did our Lord say? My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. She wasn't eating before. She was dead. She had no hunger before or thirst before. She's dead. How do you know she's alive now? She's hungry. She's thirsty. Now, she's coming to hear the gospel, not because her parents bought her, because she needs to. Because she wants to. Because she now needs Christ. She has life. Nobody has to bring her now. The Lord brought her. And she needs this gospel for herself. Give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished. This gospel, this salvation, brethren, salvation that's of the Lord, is astonishing. It's amazing grace. Astonishing grace. Unworthy, undeserved mercy and grace, isn't it? For the undeserving. And he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Why did he do that? I don't really know. I don't know. I have my opinion. Other men do, but it could be that, well, I don't know. I'm going to give my opinion. I know in another place, though, the Lord, do you think they did? You think they, if somebody asked, who did this? In other words, they're not going to run out and say, my daughter got saved. My daughter got saved. My daughter's alive. You know, you would not tell anybody. They'd see for themselves. Look, she's going into the church house. She's alive. Maybe that's it, okay. My daughter got saved. I saw one time where a young boy was confessing Jesus in baptism, young boy, in this so-called church, and they had a bunch of T-shirts made up. Congratulations, Billy. Hey, none of those people know the Lord. That's an abomination to God. And go out spouting off. You thank the Lord. I tell you who what they're doing when they leave this place, though. They're singing to high heaven. They're singing unto the Lord. Aren't they? They're praising the Lord. And so is she. It's pretty obvious who did it. All right. Let's sing a closing hymn. Verse 51. Psalm 51. That'd be a good one to sing with. Number 51. Stand as we sing.